Good afternoon. Welcome to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a league of nations among other internet radio talk stations, voices of the people, united we roar. Today is November 30th, the end of the month, 2007, PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And now, let me present to you Dr. Barbara Holstein and Happiness for Women Only. Good afternoon, Dr. Holstein.
Good afternoon. I'm glad to be back, and I welcome Martha Trowbridge, my co-hostess on this wonderful show. Hi, Martha.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, and you know, I'm a positive psychologist. You're an inspirational writer for women. And both of us focus 110% on various ways to help women find more happiness in their lives, wherever they're starting from. So today, I have labeled our show Sleeping Beauty Awaken. And I hope we're going to have a lot of fun with this. There is an undercurrent in Sleeping Beauty that isn't all fun. But I think we need to think about her and think about where we're at and move ahead, because it's only through understanding where we're at that we really can make progress toward sustained states of happiness, which I often call the enchanted self.
Well, Barbara, why don't we start by your talking a little bit about who Sleeping Beauty was and why she was sleeping?
Well, Sleeping Beauty, to my knowledge, was a princess. And, of course, women are often taught when they're little girls that in some fashion we're princesses. Sometimes that's a wonderful feeling. You feel very beautiful and you can't wait for your princess costume on Halloween. And sometimes it's said in a sort of disparaging way where, oh, so you think you're just a princess, you know, that kind of thing. And sometimes it has a bad self-image result.
Well, but, so that message, what it does is it teaches us that it's bad to feel special.
It can. It can turn on us, you know, mm-hmm. so that we go from the little tea parties and the Mary Jane shoes and the princess costume on Halloween to a big Halloween monster joke where suddenly we feel diminished and like we asked for more than we should have on our plate.
Yes, and also that the special qualities about us are bad things and are bound to cause trouble for us in our relations with others.
Well, yes, and of course the princess who couldn't sleep on a mattress because there was one tiny pea under it. You know, how many girls have been criticized for having perhaps a preference in the household that was associated with, well, you're just like that princess and the pea. Well, you know, maybe that person had a legitimate preference.
Well, she also had great psychic discernment to be able to sense
the
pea under
right.
all those layers. So, again, her gift is being criticized.
Her gift is being criticized. You mm-hmm. know, the fine-tuning that made her able to notice that she was sleeping on a pea. You're absolutely right. And I'd say I've been criticized a few times for having some of those wonderful skills.
And you know, Barbara, thinking about it as we talk, I think that the metaphor for that tale is women's powers of discernment, our inner knowing, which may have been just phrased in those days 150, 200 years ago when the tales were written. There wasn't the language for it, but the awareness of that phenomenon did exist.
Oh, I think it always existed. In fact, I don't think that the Catholic Church and some of the other major institutions in the world would have run so hard to make sure women were put in a second-class position. I'm not talking about the church today, but, you know, some of the history I don't want to get tied into history, but if women were not showing great powers historically, even probably in Puritan America, where women were being hunted as witches for who knows what, perhaps being the best labor coach in the area and having the best herbs so that people didn't die.
And having wisdom and having freely using their powers of discernment, of awareness of a higher order of things, which scares a lot of men.
It sure does, and it can even scare certain women that are not comfortable with flying.
Mm-hmm.
And that, if I can jump into another language expression that I think typifies how we're not comfortable, at least in modern America, aren't we all familiar with the expression, take me, I'm yours? I think that many, many women have either said this expression, thought it in their heads, wished that somebody would ask them for their hand, let's say, and be able to say, take me, I'm yours. And yet, what does that expression really mean? Why in the world would any human being ever make themselves someone else's?
Well, you see that you're interpreting that expression as a line of surrender of self, correct?
Well, the potential, the potential, yes, because it would seem to me, and I had one client actually say this, she said, why the next time, if there ever is a next time, this is after a difficult divorce, I'll say, take me, I'm me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which still has a connotation of some sort of bridging. Take me means we're going, you know, you're going to be joining me in a pretty intimate way on a lot of levels, and maybe I am going to partially lose some power here and there, but I am very much myself, and so I'm not being absorbed.
Well, I think there's also trouble with that word take, which means, which implies ownership as well.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, so women historically have been in some of these very peculiar positions. Now, going back to Sleeping Beauty, I am not an expert on her, but it's my memory that she's a very beautiful young woman, and she's lying out sort of in a forest, and she's asleep. And she's, you know, kind of in this hypnotic state that can only be fixed by the prince kissing her.
Well, how did she get into that state? I can't recall. Was there a spell cast on her?
Yes.
Or by whom?
I think by an evil witch, and I think it may have tied into a family grievance, and I don't know for sure, you know.
So but it could have been a generational kind of thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, of course, how many women have also paid a price for being in a large family where the boys had hatred, well, maybe the whole family had hatred for the other family that lived across the fields, and periodically there was a shooting or a duel or something going on, revenge, and women have been caught generation after generation in all these metaphors. So for women today, particularly those lucky enough to be free, and that's not always the case in our world, and this program hypothetically goes around the world. But for those of us who live in free, basically free nations, to understand that we have to look beyond the Sleeping Beauty metaphor for ourselves and not wait for the prince to kiss us or the prince on the white horse to come. And yes, I'm not ruling out love, marriage, all the good things, but it's the way we feel about ourselves and the boundaries we set that influence happiness. Okay?
Well, let's imagine Sleeping Beauty in her trance sought your aid, Barbara. And she said, well, the only way out of this is to be kissed by the prince, and I'll awaken and we'll live happily ever after. What would you advise her to do? How would you reach her if she were in a trance state?
Well, if she's in a trance state, I'm going to have a little trouble.
Well, she's already reached out to you. Let's imagine she has communicated to you in some profound way, and she's asking your advice of how to awaken.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't rule out, I might even say to her, look, kid, He's already coming through the forest on the white horse. That's what my psychic powers tell me. He's pretty darn good looking, and he's not so bad. You know, he has some real potential. Let him kiss you. Get up. You know, put on your finery. Get going. But now have your radar up and your logical thinking, your judgment, discerning, and let's see what you're going to do with the rest of your life, because this guy's probably going to want you, and you're going to, you know, if you have the feelings I think you'll have toward him, you're going to want him. But it is really your baby here. You have a chance to orchestrate the future much more than the metaphor is implying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I probably would say go with it, because look, she's out in the forest half dead, you know, in a trance. I'm not going to say, well, try to mobilize the squirrels to help you come awake or something. You know, you have to go with what's there. But what women don't realize as they search for happiness is that families and husbands and children and jobs will not throw us away because we have to have certain boundaries, and because sometimes we have to say no, and because we need as much sleep as other people need. You know, we're not going to be thrown in the trash. If you are, then you really have some issues with who you're aligned with in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should we have some fun and read a couple of excerpts from a couple of my books around this notion?
Oh, that would be lovely.
Yeah. So one of them I wanted to read, just very briefly, is on page 27 in my newest book, The Truth, I'm 10, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything. And this is a little girl's diary. Now, just to frame it, she is madly in love with Paul. She's about 10 and a half at this point. And she thinks about him night and day. We really don't know if he's ever thought about her, but she thinks about him. And it's a very rainy, dreary day with nothing to do. And so here's what she says. I got out my old fairy tale books. I used to read them all the time, but now I only do once in a while. I wonder what it was really like to be Sleeping Beauty. What did it feel like to be asleep so long and then finally be awakened by a prince kissing you? If I were asleep like that, would Paul come along and kiss me? Would he come by on a white horse and scoop me up and throw me on the back of the horse and take me to his palace? Would we go deep into an enchanted forest and then he would love me forever? What if he never came? Could I wake myself up? I sure hope so.
So that's what you really want to drive home today, Barbara, is what if the prince never comes, or the prince comes and he's a creep?
Or he comes and he's wonderful. He could be the greatest, greatest person.
Mm-hmm.
It's your turn in eternity. You know, your karmas come all around and you've got the best, most wonderful match in the universe.
Ooh la la.
Yeah, but still, what are you going to do to wake yourself up and to make sure that you live a life of integrity that's lined up with who you are? Because that will increase your positive states of well-being, which is actually happiness.
So to awaken yourself to your potential.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And your purpose, your
right.
mission, your sense mm-hmm. of when you feel whole and when you feel right. So, for example, this girl goes on to say, now her mother does have some sort of part-time job but is still doing a lot of the chores and so on that went with the 50s and 60s. And she is watching, and she's, you know, really concerned about how she is going to have her way when she grows up in a reasonable way. And so she says later on page 86, I don't want to stay home during the day when I grow up. I'm going to really be somebody when I'm older. I'm not going to let anybody trap me inside a house with nothing to do but chores and laundry. I'll get the right education. If I'm going to be an actress, then I'll get that training. If I'm going to be something else, I'll do whatever it takes. I'm not going to be outside with a clothes basket hanging the clothes. My kids can hang the wash while I do more important things. I'm going to be somebody, and that's the truth.
How did she realize that at such a young age? What caused her to have that awareness?
I think that what you said before about discernment, I don't think it's just in adult women. I'm sure boys have their own capacities for discernment. I happen to know more about girls. She had picked up on some of the depressive level that her mother sometimes exuded, perhaps some of the feelings that she picked up from her friends' mothers, of their feelings of repetition and dullness in their lives. Not that a life in a home can't be a rich life, but that takes work and energy and community systems, too.
Well, how did she know in those days? Now, let's go back 50 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
How would she know in those days that there were alternatives for women?
Well, I'm sure even in her community there were some professional women. There was, of course, there were teachers.
Right.
There were nurses.
Mm-hmm.
There may have been one or two doctors, one or two business ladies.
So she observed in her world alternate lifestyles.
Exactly. To some extent, enough to whet her appetite.
And also, I recall that girl loved to read, so there must have been, with the whole Nancy Drew business,
Nancy had
a career as a young teenager.
Exactly.
And that must have been very influential as well.
I'm sure it was, and I think that perhaps even reading all the classics, although most of them have gone in detail away from my mind at this point, I think that a young girl will pick up many nuances, because people who wrote things like Little Women and Little Men and Hans Brinker, I forget the full title of Hans Brinker, but what we consider classics, they were very fine authors that were very, very astute and subtle, and they could draw and describe personalities. I think in a way that often today, if the kids don't read at that level, they don't get a chance to expand their minds that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these are questions that I think astute kids worry about. On the other hand, it's possible a young boy is worrying that he'll work so hard like his daddy, let's say, that he'll never have any fun time. He'll never have time to just be with his family. You could go in reverse. So, but we're focusing, as I said, more on how a woman makes corrective boundaries. So you see, this little girl is planning ahead. I will get the education I need. Now, for most women in our society, again in the Western world where we have freedom, if you get the education you need, you probably will be able to break out of a lifestyle that really isn't good for you. Hello? Martha?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So I think in today's, you know, what I was saying about if you can break out of your lifestyle and find through education a way to move closer to what feels right to you, the princess, the positive princess inside of you that really has a right to all of her discernment and all of her likes and passions, and you go after it, that's a big step.
It sure is.
So,
and it requires courage and hard work and perseverance and a lot of things. That, you know, for most of us, it isn't just handed to us on a golden platter. We really need to work for it.
That's right. For most of us, it sure isn't. So I think that the message for today is around these issues of self-autonomy without disconnecting from loved ones. And I had a couple of more little examples, which would be fun if I'm not sure if we're being cut off exactly.
You have all the time you want.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say a couple more examples for those of us who have been fascinated by Sex and the City, and I'm one of them, Carrie Bradshaw, who eventually appears to be on her way to the altar to marry in the very last episode, although we'll only know, I guess, when the new film comes out on Sex and the City. But anyway, she's been dating a number of years in New York, and at one point she finally decides that she's sick and tired of spending thousands of dollars on other friends' weddings, and she decides that she's going to get married, and she sends out marriage announcements marrying herself. And so what did she get as her first present from some of her major girlfriends? She gets an absolutely gorgeous pair of shoes, just her favorite brand, her favorite style, and, of course, she's just thrilled. And I'm thinking, how does this parallel another great fairy tale of our lives, which is Cinderella?
Mm-hmm.
Here's Cinderella. She's, you know, waiting out a horrible life with these awful stepsisters, a horrible stepmother, and the prince is already floating out there in space, going to dances and meeting the young, beautiful women of the wonderful kingdom. And he comes along, and guess what? Her foot fits perfectly into the glass slipper, which changes her life, of course. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm reading and reviewing the Cinderella story, well, I don't know if I'd want to fit into a glass slipper. I'd be scared to death that the next thing I do is trip and the glass would shatter and go into my foot and I'd be infected. And, you know, we have a whole host of problems going on. There's nothing so thrilling about wearing glass on your feet.
Well, you know, these fairy tales, I think, when we think back, though, Barbara, when they were constructed, life was quite different, and the whole idea of a glass slipper symbolized elegance, something very special, something, you know, the whole power of being able to see through glass, the mirror image of the glass. So I don't think it was really meant to be a literal glass slipper, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I still think if we start to play with it metaphorically, there's a bit of danger around it.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's a bit of danger around any relationship,
mm-hmm.
okay? Whether somebody finds you or you find him or you mutually find each other. I don't agree at all with Carrie Bradshaw that the real decision is either to marry yourself unless you really, really want that. But I think, again, these are two extreme images. One is where she's trying to be self-sufficient as a total whole unto herself, and the other where you get carried off by the prince and there is some risk of loss of self that's already been set up just by even wearing the glass slippers. And I think for women to achieve happiness, the balance is in the middle.
Right. Well, don't you think also, Barbara, a lot of it hinges upon the type of man or woman, whomever your partner is, that person's personality as well?
Oh, of course. Of mm-hmm. course. It certainly does. But all we can do when we help people move toward positive states and practicing for themselves to have more happiness, unless you have couple counseling where you can get to both of them, is to help the person, and in this case the woman, work on the issues that are going to keep her more whole so she won't get swallowed up.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in my original book, The Enchanted Self, A Positive Therapy, that's what I did. I didn't have the 7 gateways to happiness yet. I worked primarily on one's sense of self and also the what one had to do in terms of things like education and setting boundaries. And then the third division was to recognize more often and keep bringing back into our lives what actually makes us happy, not being so dismissive, you know, of a good time, feeling it's just once in a million, but really finding ways to have happy occasions and happy times that fit you. So I really had it kind of divided into three rather than seven.
Mm-hmm.
But there is some sense to that, too, because it's very much how we view ourselves, how we move forward by what actions we take, and how we permit ourselves to return to feeling in good moods and good positive states, which have to be practiced.
Right, it's a wonderful book, and I recommend it to any woman listening who really wants to bring more positive states of being into her life.
Well, thank you. And I have a little poem in here that it's ironic, you know, how it's so interesting in one's own development how we keep working on certain images and they come back. And, you know, this book has already been published a few years, but I'll be happy to say it's available on my website, enchantedself.com, and Amazon. It's still in Borders and all the places. You just ask for it. But certain images come back, like Sleeping Beauty. So here we go with a little poem in this book, The Enchanted Self, too. Devalued when born, fed but not nourished, asleep but not dead, Sleeping Beauty awakened, beautiful woman, beautiful soul, beautiful person. And basically this poem, when I wrote it, was a congratulations poem in the 12th chapter to the women who read this book and really move through some of the efforts to value themselves more and meet their own needs and learn how to bring more happiness into their lives.
Right. It sure communicates that, Barbara.
Oh, good. Good. So this is basically my Sleeping Beauty story, and I think that we have, you know, we've had some fun bringing it to people. I certainly want to just mention that for the fun of it, you know, we're getting into December and the Christmas season, Hanukkah. If anybody calls me, and I'm going to give the office number, 732-571-1200, and ask to buy either The Truth or The Enchanted Self, I'm going to throw in a little necklace that goes with The Truth as a present when I send out the book. And that would be fun. It would be a nice gift from me, and it would also give me a chance to maybe connect with some of the people that hear this show. And Martha, I think you have one or more of your ebooks for sale now on your site.
I have one, but I have a regular print book in design as we speak, and I'm hoping it will be available by the early part of 2008, probably by the beginning of February.
So what would you encourage people to do? Can they buy your ebook for a holiday gift?
Oh, yes. That's available on my website, The Woman You Were Born to Be. And my site is www.marthatrowbridge.org.
Great, great. Well, Martha, do you have anything else you want to share for today?
I don't know. I'm thinking of fairy tales, and I'm thinking of how tired I am. I haven't slept very much in the last few weeks. So as you're saying, Sleeping Beauty, I'm imagining going out to my woods right outside my home, although it's winter here in Vermont. So it would be a little difficult to fall asleep gracefully. But I'm imagining her out there in summer or autumn weather as opposed to, I think right now it's about 20 degrees and sustained winds of 30 miles an hour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
well,
anyway.
Maybe so we could use this just to sign off to remind ladies listening to this show, don't let yourselves get totally wrecked. Remember, you are entitled to a good night's sleep, and you
yes.
are entitled to feel refreshed and to feel, you know, that yummy feeling when you've had a good meal and when you haven't been constantly interrupted by the phone and someone nagging you from the next room.
Oh, it's heavenly.
Yes, you're entitled to all of this. If you can't get it all at once, struggle to get it bit by bit because it's yours, and don't let it just slide away from you. So I'm going to say goodbye for today. I know you have a guest next week, Martha.
I do. I have Dr. Michael Eigen, who is editor-in-chief of Psychoanalytic Review. He's written some fabulous books, and I hope our listeners can join us next week to hear him talk on happiness.
Good. And in 2 weeks, we'll be back with our chat together, and we'll just go from there.
Great.
So bye for now.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You've just listened to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and her co-host Martha Trowbridge in Happiness for Women Only. And if you want to hear this all over again, you can go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com, click on the archives, and a list of names will appear. Go find Barbara's among them, click on it, and you will see and hear the podcast, which ought to be up there in about an hour. PIVTR is the internet home for anyone seeking quality information and entertainment, as well as answers to many of the multiple concerns that the average person wants to know. At PIVTR, we not only provide experts passionate about the work, we offer you viable content and solutions. PIVTR is also dedicated to helping published mid-list and beginning writers, unknown authors, small businesses, and entrepreneurs to follow to market themselves further, their services, books, and products to the media. And before I let you go to face the weekend by yourself, here in Michigan, it's supposed to snow and rain, snow and rain, snow and rain for the weekend. We have that to look forward to, but this little message from Anne Merle Lindbergh, who said, if one is out of touch with oneself, then one cannot touch others. Think about it. Thank you very much for listening. The rest of the day is devoted to listening to the other audios that were recorded during their live performances during the week. And all this weekend, you too will have an opportunity to listen to this. If you want to hear any favorite program over again, go look at the archives on the individual talk show host page. Call me up at 734-332-5902 and say, I really want to hear Dr. Holstein talk about blue, 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 blah, 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 blah. And I'll be more than happy to find the show for you and put it up. But I don't know, unless you tell me, my crystal ball's on strike, and somehow my wand wandered off one night by itself and have not seen it since. So thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. If you're in the cold, stay warm. And if you're warm, get out in the pool and swim. And everybody in between can ski and ice skate. Thank you very much. And remember, keep listening. Thank you.